With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Ali Plum.
Hey, Ross Drummond.
Hello again, Stephen Allen York.
Hi, I'm back.
Bet. You never left.
I've just been here, like just locked in the closet. But it's a nice closet, so I didn't mind.
Like R. Kelly.
He's nice. He's very kind.
Is he? Did he wee on you when you were in there?
No, but he let me borrow some of his matches so he could...
Look, it's dangerous.
It's dark down there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't easily spontaneously combust. Oh, was good.
Thank goodness. And welcome to 1990s Problems, the all-encapsulating podcast about 90s television and miscellanea.
I like how you pluralized that.
Did you like that?
Good work.
What happened there was I delayed because I didn't know what word was going to come out of my mouth.
It was great. It was nice timing. It was nicely spaced.
Seemed comedic timing. Yes. Really, just my brain working.
It didn't go unnoticed.
And what are we talking about today, Ali?
Allow me to tell you, halfway through a pork pie. This is appropriate because we're doing Big Break. Big Break was, and I'm so happy and proud to be saying this, Big Break was a 90s TV show that was the combination of a game show and the worst game of snooker you've ever seen.
Because it was hurried.
I can safely say that Big Break is the best snooker-based game show in the world ever. And I don't think it has any rivals in this. It is described on Wikipedia. You know I find Wikipedia funny, but Big Break is a British game show, emphasis on British there, featuring the game of snooker, mixed with traditional game show elements. It was broadcast on BBC One between the 30th of April 1991 and the 9th of October 2002.
Golden days.
It later influenced a golf-themed game show called Full Swing. Only lasted for one season.
With Tarby.
I remember that. But you'll probably know Big Break as the BBC's knockoff version of Bullseye, but with snooker. It was hosted by Jimbo Davidson, also known as Jim Davidson, and JV, John Virgo. It had astonishingly 14 series.
Jesus Christ.
222 episodes, including 17 specials, and came in at 30 minutes apiece. It's unbelievably, undeniably, utterly bonkers.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen this show, I think this is one of the episodes we'll do here on 99's Problems, the number one podcast for all things 99's TV show, Marcella and Nini and Nenia.
It's the most British TV show I can, like, maybe apart from Bullseye, which is probably the other most British TV show I can think of. Like,
it's quite, you know, they're kind of like tied in many ways.
It's
like
fucking,
pros and cons from
both.
They're
playing fucking snooker on TV.
You can't imagine
money.
You can't imagine an American one with pool, can you?
No,
it just
wouldn't
happen.
Hit the number nine pin.
you've won
an alarm clock.
Hey, you've hit the number nine. That means we've got a question about France. So, what is the capital of France?
Oh, I think it might be Paris.
Okay, play on.
Yeah. It's just so, so mental. And Jim Davidson.
It's like I'm going to work on the bus and there's a meeting about a new TV show and I haven't thought of any ideas, so I'm going to think of that.
Yeah.
And, fat snooker quiz show, yep. And you just say it in a meeting and someone goes, I like it.
Like it. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
Fire up the money gun. Should we play the theme tune?
All right, you big lenders. You're only here for the theme tune. Then you switch off and then carry on with the rest of your day. This is the theme tune for Big Break. Just so you know, this was an actual song.
Yeah.
Some theme tunes that we do were written for it.
Yeah.
This was called The Snooker Song, and it's from the musical The Hunting of the Snark. It was composed by Mike Batt and performed by everyone's favourite Red Beret punkster, Captain Sensible.
I haven't got any others, I'll be honest.
Captain Sensible, ironically, much like Big Break is the best ever snooker quiz show in the world, I think Captain Sensible is the best punk rocker with a red beret on. Here you go. This is the snooker song, as later covered by the Arctic Monkeys. This is Big Break, its theme song, the snooker song.
So that's like verse
so
two.
So that's the song.
See, right. That was news to me. I didn't know that till recently, eh? Yeah, I didn't know it. It's like from this musical, isn't it?
Hunting of the Snark.
Hunting of the Snark.
You know, bunch of different musicians did it. Let me just play you the version which ends with what you really want. It has the real payoff.
Yeah.
Okay, so just once more, because it's great.
Oh, yeah, they've upped the tempo. It's only a half an hour program, isn't it? You've got to get a move on. We ain't got a musical.
Yeah. That's Mike, the money
Mike,
shot.
Mike Batt is on the side going, hurry up. Hurry up.
Guys, great take, but
faster.
Really think that we could up the tempo on this one.
Faster.
Bands do that all the time. But you know, they talk about like the punk era.
When I think of Big Break, do you think Captain Sensible, you know, like they talk about the day punk died and stuff like
that?
Yeah,
but he was a hardcore punk, wasn't
right.
he?
Right. Do you think the day punk died was probably when he got the first PRS check for the Big Break theme tune?
Well, he did like, I think he did some early song. He did like
Isn't
Happy Talk.
Damned?
He did, but yeah, I think it was when he donned the red beret first. That was when punk died. Unless did he wear it when he was in the Damned?
You know you've made it when on your Wikipedia page, this is for Captain Sensible, the picture that gives an sample of him playing live at Abergavenny in 1994.
That's right. That's the height of the Big Break era.
God,
he probably
honestly,
had a nice,
dizzy
a nice,
in heights.
He had a nice Holiday Inn then, probably. Booked into a nice Premier Inn, maybe, instead of a Travelodge.
Now he's paying for Airbnb.
Exactly. Now look at him.
So, yeah, this was Big Break. It had John Virgo, who was an actual snooker player.
Yeah.
Famed for his... You like the expression, don't you?
Well, the trick shot.
We know his trick shot, but he also wears...
Oh, the no-dad waistcoat.
Now, you have to explain this.
Yeah.
What does a no-dad... Because I feel like I was missing out. You know when people have to explain jokes to you? I feel like this is what's about to happen.
They used to explain it at the start, I think, and then as the series went on, they just went, the audience are in on it now. Cut to the short end.
What is a no-dad waistcoat?
I saw a clip of Davidson actually explaining it earlier from a clip from 1994 on the YouTubes, and he goes, some people... So Virgo's going to put, he's got a waistcoat, and what they call it is a no dad waistcoat, which means no dad, don't make me wear this.
Okay.
And I mean, he's got a back catalogue of jokes, Jake Davidson. I don't know if he spent as much time on that as he does on the blue stuff.
Comedy!
Yeah, well. Yeah. And also, he's quite an odd choice, isn't he, Davidson? Because he wasn't Mr. like Family Saturday Night. He's Mr. Blue, racist, homophobic.
He's probably end of the pier, but, you know, also kind of. You know,
but a lot of people are going to pay at the pier to go and see him.
Yeah, it was like, is Roy Chubby Brown not available? Get Jim Davidson.
But Roy Chubby Brown always dresses as like an airman, like a bizarre airman.
He dresses
like
a no dad.
Oh yeah, he's got like a no dad
Roy
suit.
Roy Chubby Brown is the ultimate no dad.
with a bizarre
no
helmet.
Or he has no dad and that's just what he wore.
Oh, yeah,
you know
maybe.
What I mean?
Maybe he's
sad,
an orphan.
Then.
Jim Davidson, I think there's a reason why we've been drawn to this show, because Jim Davidson is, if we talked about Noel Edmonds last week.
Oh,
in terms
like
of people who are universally loathed that happened to rule the roost of Saturday evening TV, it was Big Break, which was a massive deal, and then The Generation Game, which was a massive deal. He took over from Brucey, a man he professionally took the mick out of.
Yeah.
He would... Jim Davidson had a thing which was obviously just being incredibly racist and blue and sweary.
Yeah.
But what he did instead to temper it was terrible impressions of anything and everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
What I noticed watching this again, like seeing it now as an adult, because I only watched this when I was like actually quite young, is that he would...
And me.
He would find out. He would find out where you're from. Oh, so you're from Dorset. And you go, oh, you're from Dorset, are you? Oh, you're.
I thought when I was watching it is that actually...
That was pretty good, actually.
Like, it's so fucking boring.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
if it wasn't for Davidson just running his mouth for the 27 minutes, it would be so awful.
He does kind of tie it together, doesn't he? Because he does sort of go off script and stuff, and he does make stuff up, whether it works or not, but he does create an energy.
You are laughing at silly voices. You don't know who he's taking the mic out of or what's going on, but he does a little bit of... He'll decide, like, oh, Jimmy White, well, when he's on... Because essentially, here's the premise of the show. Let's just briefly set it up. Game is split into three parts. Three parts. You have three contestants who turn up at the front of the show, right at the top. But before that, you have John Virgo and Jim Davidson. They turn up and do a weird kind of skit. Yeah. And you have Jim Davidson going, that bloody northerner John Virgo, because he's from Lancaster. And they do a whole bit how he's slow and stupid and Jim's sprightly and cheapy, cheeky, whatever.
Yeah.
They do a little skit. It's terrible. Then they go over to the three seats up on the far left of the show, and it's three random punters who are probably just, you know, escaped from university for a couple of nights to do this. And then you get a ball out of a bag. They have a chat about it, but they get a ball out of a bag. Red ball, that means you've got, you know, like Johnny Two Nuts who's going to play a bit of snooker for you. Oh, and you've got a brown ball, that means you've got, oh, well, it's Peter Molyneux. You know, it's like absolutely random.
He won the Wimpy Championship in 1993, and he's also just lost his father. It was like...
In the Sunday paper, he's declared bankrupt. That's why he's doing Big Break.
The best bit was that you're talking about the few episodes I saw, so many students applied to be...
Well, it's a way of getting money, though, isn't it? You could end up with 250 quid.
Because the questions are so easy, and it's like... And then the one I saw was like, they had a nice young lady, she went to Union Cardiff, and she pulled out the blue ball, and Jim Davidson, I don't know how he didn't, but you could see a blue ball joke.
I saw something.
You did as well.
I saw something bad today.
Oh no.
The clip, I don't know if I can. I mean, I'm saying this,
all right,
but I want it to
spoiler
be made.
Spoiler warning. We're going to have some swears.
No, it was worse than that. I want it to be made very clear. I'm only repeating what Davidson said and what he did, right?
He had sex with Virgo on the table.
Virgo unbuttoned his waistcoat, led on the table. No, he didn't do that. No. There
show
is an
you
old sharpen the tip. No, he goes. There is an old fella on there, about 90, very sprightly fella, and he said, and Davidson was asking him questions, you know, where are you from and all that, and he said, "Oh, you want to say hello to your grandson, don't you?" And he went, "Yes, Jim." He said, "He's on HMS whatever, and he's a sailor." He said, "Can I say hello to him?" He went, "Go look at camera five." He went, "Hello, Tom or whatever," and then he said, "He's stationed in Hong Kong." And then he went, okay. So then he goes, okay, John, we've done that. So put your hand in the bag. And he pulled out a coloured ball. So then you know whether you're going to get Terry Griffiths or whatever.
No.
He pulled out a yellow ball. Yeah. And Davidson went, oh, that works quite well because Hong Kong, doesn't it? Virgo, have we got the yellow ball? And I was like, I was in a coffee shop today and I saw that clip. I was gobsmacked. I nearly let out a gasp.
That is actually the tip of the iceberg.
That happened.
Was there a laugh from the audience?
I was just going to say, the audience laughed a lot. A 1994 audience.
Yeah, they love it.
They loved it. They laughed at that. But this is Mr. Saturday Night. Edmonds would never do that.
No, Jim Davidson is like the Russell Brand of...
don't know what he's going to do next.
Yeah. But
although he's sort of...
More like a drunk uncle.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, he's had another beer. He's going to start talking about the
war. He means like
again.
This when he's not even had a whiskey.
And that was the other thing. He always alludes. The one I saw, he was like, there was a solicitor on.
Oh, God.
He kept making jokes. He's like, oh, well, if things work out well for you, you could help me get my next divorce. But like...
because he hit his wife.
That's
what the undercurrent is, isn't it?
He hit his wife. He wrote about it.
Oh God.
He did?
Yeah, he beat up his wife.
He's
and
very
he,
open
he
about
threw
it.
His keys at her face.
Well, that was our local newsreader back home, Alison Holloway. He was married to her, and he went very nice to her, and they divorced. I mean, he's had about 80 wives.
He's been like divorced like six or seven times.
Yeah. And he hasn't got gout. That's where the difference between him and Henry VIII ends.
Well, we don't know.
He's also not the King of England, thank God.
Yeah, thank God for that.
But no, Jim Davidson, he introduces them. They each get a ball. They're all students or some random old man. You have the first round, which is called Red Hot, where they had to pot as many Red Bulls as possible. But
that was a joke, wasn't it?
But all they're doing is they have a random snooker player assigned to them. So the proportion of skill, the differential of skill between the snooker players was humongous.
Yeah,
you'd have Jimmy White, like, as far as snooker world famous.
Yeah.
And then you'd have
world famous.
Tony Mio.
Yeah, exactly. David Brent, you know, just with a stick, just pushing it with the edge of his bum cheek. It was just ridiculous, the disparity. Anyway, they had to hit as many Red Bulls as possible, but they had to answer three of the most mind-bogglingly easy questions to get as much time as possible to hit these Red Bulls in.
Yeah.
And here are some questions, like, on the 24-hour clock, that was that one episode, on a 24-hour clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, add that to the biggest brown or copper coin in the British sterling. What have you got? Oh, is that actually, could that be 17? Correct! That's the tough one.
Yeah.
The other one is, what's the first letter in the alphabet? What colour's your hair?
Yeah.
How many feet have I got? Do you like cheese? Correct! You know, it was honestly, the idea that this was a quiz show was kind of irrelevant.
It's just a way of wasting time, really, wouldn't it, to get to the next bit. I saw one today, and he said, what side does the queen face on a coin? And the woman got it wrong. She even went like that. She turned, and she's like, get yourself in the mindset, she got it wrong. And he was like, yeah.
I mean, he helps them as well sometimes. But I guess, you know.
But sometimes he doesn't, I noticed. Yeah,
he doesn't like where they're from in any way.
Well, and he can't do the accent, because when he used to, like, talk to him and he would do the accent, there's some that he stayed away from. He used to do, like, West Country, and he'd do Scottish, and he'd do Scouser and Northern, but if that was a Geordie, he'd stay well away.
And there was, like, he's like, oh, I'm from, my name's Simon, I'm 24, and I'm from Preston. And Jim Davis just went, I'm not allowed to play in Preston anymore.
Did he?
What's amazing about that is the guy said, I know.
Yeah.
Just like really flatly.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got to go all the way to Stoke, so perhaps you can help me out. Which is like,
brilliant.
Honestly, he would just do silly voices all the time to the extent that you thought that was just his thing. Like, there's a bit that Adam Buxton does. I'm a big fan of Adam Buxton, but he did this bit which was incredibly enthusiastic coverage or commentary of snooker, and it made me think of Big Break, because he kind of did it on the show where it's like, oh, he's got the bloody blue one in,
yeah,
whoa, and that's kind of what happened. The second round was it was called Pocket Money, when they had to hit as many balls in and you got a certain amount of money, and that's a bit you get 50, you get, you know, the pink one to get you 50 quid, the red one get you 10 quid, that sort of thing. And if you got one of them wrong, you had to answer a question. So the red ball would be potluck, and the pink ball would be, you know, travel, and the brown one would be the past.
It's like Trivial Pursuit.
It's a lot like Trivial Pursuit, but even more boring. But you had all of this going on, and you didn't know whether to concentrate on the quiz or on the snooker.
Yeah.
But the bit that made me laugh every time he did it was at the end of each round for each, like, team. John Virgo would go, and that's £230 for whatever his name is. And I was thinking on the way up here, it's Ross Drummond with £230. John Virgo surely must have just said, this is the most boring thing that's ever been done, ever, and I'm getting paid for it.
Do it for 9 years.
Yeah, and it's a rubbish amount. That's a lot of work for like 200 quid or something. Well, to like a hold out, going all the way to the Big Break Studios and coming out. That was the winner would always get around 200 quid.
And then,
if you went on Bob's Full House, you got 6,400.
I got a list of the prizes that were won. But one thing I did notice was like, if you're a snooker player in the 90s, this must have been the fucking holy grail. You're an out-of-work snooker player.
Yeah. You haven't won nothing in about 15 years.
You haven't won
anything.
The Benson Hedges tournaments, you're not even seeded.
No.
Forget about it.
You're not even a wild card.
You're not even a wild card. You're nowhere. You get a call from Virgo.
Yeah. Hello. Just wondered if you'd like to do an episode of Big Break.
A-up, mate.
A-up there.
You see him down the pub.
Hello, Mike Hallett. What are you doing next Saturday night? Would you like to pot as many balls as you can?
Because that was the thing, the red hot thing. Davidson would always set it up and go, right, now we've got Virgo to explain the very, very complicated rules, extremely complicated.
What we've got to
and he
do.
Goes, explain, John. He goes, you got to pot as many balls as you can. And every week the audience loved it. They
were
laughed.
Like, oh, wow. And he would get really excited about it as well.
Yeah.
And it was almost very good. It was like training for him to be a commentator.
Yeah. Well, it was.
Because he was
he
just like,
pop the pig!
He was like, oh, great angle. Ooh, bad angle.
Yeah, he loves it. But it's like, I was reading about it, like, and he started off doing impressions of all his like colleagues, all the other super. And so when there was like a lull in proceedings, like when they were like setting up, like say it was like the World Championship, and they were setting up the next game or whatever. So your referee's putting the triangle on and setting the balls up. He would do impressions for the audience, and I watched. There's a clip of it on the YouTubes, and I watched it, and it's awkward to watch.
John Virgo does impressions of other snooker players, or
Other snooker players, and I think it's because of that producers were looking for somebody. And
so
I think
John Virgo does impressions of just some of the dullest.
Well, it's all like it's all body language and things. Because it's all a bit. I mean, he knows them well, so maybe
that
he
was
knows
the
it,
that was the thing for me was like because you get Jim Davidson, I mean, looks like he's on a lot of cocaine, a lot of energy.
It's a lot of motion in that mullet.
A lot of motion. He just repeats things endlessly. He doesn't shut up. He talks constantly.
It's not all balls in that bag, is it?
No. We've got no white balls left.
Or all the balls are white. How did that happen?
Can we have an eight ball, please? Snooker drug cut jokes. Yeah, we did it.
Everyone got it.
Thank you. So it's just like, he didn't be quiet. But then, he was like, so apart from Jimmy White, who had, they're like banter.
Yeah,
the other ones is nothing.
Well, unless you've got Hurricane Higgins on, there's not. They always say characters in snooker, but that isn't really saying a lot, is it? Because it just means one of them might part their hair to the right.
Yeah,
I mean that's a character.
I mean,
snooker, isn't
it's
it?
Either
well, the funny glasses,
the glasses
on
upside down,
the Dennis Taylor really long glasses that when he's sort of like queuing up, you can see the ball in the distance. It makes for like very oblong glasses. That's if you've got them, it's functional, isn't it? It's not like Timmy Mallett wearing crazy glasses.
Yeah,
it's a functional tool, but that makes you a character in snooker.
I mean, like it's like the same in darts. It's just like you're a character if you're just morbidly obese.
Well, it's like darts. It's what used to get like really like overweight snooker players in the 70s.
But I think in darts, you're a character if you're not morbidly obese.
Well, maybe,
what are you like? What's going on here?
It's Anorexic Adam.
And he's got it on the back like the crafty cockney. Anorexic Adam.
It's a skeleton.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's funny how we've started talking about this show and we've really got into it because we obviously watched it when it was up and live. So that now we're going, there's this round and this happened and then snooker. Let's just take a step back here. This is still a TV show about snooker where you have to ask quiz questions. The thing that made me, I honestly couldn't believe watching it now. They don't even play snooker. The people who come on the show,
they
don't move their hands onto a cue until one of them loses in the first round and has to do a trick shot. Mm. And John Virgo obviously ran out of trick shots in season 29.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where, honestly, they'd set up the most pathetic trick shots. You're going to get this, hit the red one off that cushion, it'll go into that pocket. Whoa! And they'll get it wrong, and then he pops it in the corner anyway.
Good ones look like magic. Those ones didn't look like magic.
Some did look like magic. And I remember seeing on Auntie's Sporting Bloomers or Auntie's Bloomers, there was always a really large chunk where John Virgo, in front of a crowd of maybe 90, whoever could fit into that particularly small room in BBC Television Centre, stuffed up the trick shot.
But he used to get angry, didn't he?
Over and over and over.
He like got to like take seven and
he was like
and he's doing the whimsical comments saying, oh, I can't get it right. And he was just like, you can see he's got like inner frustration and he's like, and it's all like a deathly silent tension in the audience.
Because he had to get it right to show them how it was done.
Yeah, they didn't have CGI in them days, did they?
And there was always a joke about, let's see what exciting prize you could win. And it'll be like, a flaccid dildo.
Well, no,
that was the star prize.
Yeah, that was just Jim Davidson's prize or his payment. But we watched the same episode. Because there's one, so it's the trick shot with Jim, it's JV.
Oh,
and,
I like that first name
too. I call him, JV. And JV and this lad
and he's potting it, and he shows him how to do it, and then, you know, JV's like, look, just gently push it in, da-da-da-da. And then he does it, and he smashes it way too hard. And then JV pushes it in, he goes, and here's what you've won! And it's a...
lip phone.
It's a lip...
It's a lip phone. It's a lip phone.
Oh, like a Mick Jagger.
Like, just large
phone.
Lips. And in the 90s...
Are you about to say the joke that they say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, please
do. In the 90s.
I mean, it could go a million ways.
Well, before
it's
we get to the joke,
big
is
big red lips.
It's a big pair of red
lips. Oh, right.
Like, luscious.
Okay.
But.
Oh, God.
Jim
Should we stretch? Should we do like I did? Stress that this is you just paraphrasing what you said.
No, it's not as.
Oh, it's
not
as bad
going
as
down
that.
The route that I think you think it's going down.
Yeah, you don't need
a
disclaimer.
I wouldn't put it past him. He just goes, took you a minute to think what that was, didn't it? To the lad. Just meaning he thinks it's a big vagina.
5:35.
Yeah, it's
Saturday
5:35.
After Saturday tea time.
Did you think that was a pussy phone, son?
Oh, I want to point out to people listening.
Good, we're clean not, family
we're not,
fun.
We're not laughing at the idea about him actually saying those words. We're laughing because that's definitely what he thought. Okay. Those were the exact words in his head. But and then like he had to do a BBC like mute. You could tell there was a BBC like blocker in his head going,
I want to say this. I can't help it.
But then you can hear this kind of semi-muted laughter from the audience as everyone goes,
that's all the dads and the wives are like nudging them in the ribs.
Jeremy, shut up. What are you laughing at?
He's such an odd choice, though, isn't it? Like, you think they'd have got, like, Del Winton or something. Like, the bloke who's known for being really racist and sweary and stuff, putting him on practice.
But he is like a lad. Like, you playing snooker. Jim Davidson came from the pubs and the clubs. That's where his comedy, where he was from. You know, he was the guy at the fucking Bolton Village Hall, smoke with a fag on stage, talking about it. Like, if you were a snooker fan,
you would
have loved
Davidson.
Jim Davidson. That's your... You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I think he's tonally, he's great, but I'm just saying he's a bit of a risk for producers and things. Because if he's, you're in the middle of a good season, he'll just hit somebody and it'll be all in the press.
And the thing that is now is if you watch any... And the thing is, it's difficult. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's an obed. He's not a clever man. And if he was smart, he wouldn't open his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
But it was of a time he came up. Granted, by the time he was on national television, he's probably still too late to be saying what he was. But the things that he got famous for were socially acceptable. You know, I mean, like, it wasn't like he was this... Yes, he was obviously very blue.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like now. If you went out and did a set now and
I'm
just
not going to do that. Just
a tight five of Jim Davidson 70s era.
Yeah.
You
doing
know what
his
I mean?
Set. I'm not going to do that.
No.
It wouldn't be acceptable.
So it's like, it's difficult. It's very easy to look in hindsight. No, I'm not defending Jim Davidson.
You sound like his number one fan. You sound like his biographer.
But, you know.
No, I know what you mean.
Just to touch on Jim. Let's quickly go to his Wikipedia page. Yeah. See what I can mine.
With Jim.
James Cameron, inverted commas, Jim Davidson.
Thanks.
So here we go. Highest profile roles came from Big Break, Generation Game, blah, blah, blah. He is also a stand-up comedian and writer, developing adult pantomime shows such as Boobs in the Wood and Cinderella, both of which have played to sell-out audiences. Despite winning many awards throughout his long career, Davidson has become known for his use of controversial jokes about women, ethnic minorities, homosexuals, disabled people, but he denies accusations that he is prejudiced against these groups. That's your opening paragraph on Wikipedia. Jim Davidson, OBE. 61 years old, this man. He has been married 6 times.
Wow. Yep.
Once in 71, once in 81, once in 87, once in 1990, one in 2010.
So your mate Holloway was his third wife.
Alison Holloway, third wife. Unbelievable. Yeah. He is truly a one of a kind. He's also appeared in so many other random TV shows before and since. But this period was hot. Generation Game was founded by Brucey.
Yeah.
Brucey gave it up and the reins were handed over to Jim Davidson.
Do you know what happened? Like, I remember when it happened, Brucey was ill during like the end. I think it was like the last but one show or something. It might say it on the Wikipedias. He was ill. He might have had the runs, or he had like flu or something. Or he might have had just...
Almost?
Yeah, he might have had the flu-y runs.
Yeah.
And he must have pulled out at the last minute, and Davidson stepped in to cover it, almost like shift work, you know, call up, you know, or like a doctor going, you're going to have to cover my shift or something. And It was like Bruce's Generation Game titles, and Davidson walks out. So I think because he did well on that, he sort of, you know,
like, we'll have it. For,
and I think they might have put him in mind for when Brucey left.
Because it's weird that, because Generation Game was the 70s.
Yeah.
So, and then it was him, and then it rebooted again, sort of late 80s.
So it was him and Larry Grayson in the 70s.
That's right,
Brucey
and
him. And then it came back in like 91 or something.
Yeah, and Bruce was in it, and then...
And I think after, like, I don't know, some like 3-4 years maybe, he just went, I don't want to do this anymore. Ooh, I've had enough. Everyone can do Bruce Forsyth. Can you do Bruce Forsyth?
I can't. Ooh, maybe. No.
What was that? Oh, Betty.
Ooh. Oh, nice to see you. Oh. Just see you. Nice.
Would be a terrible one. Nice. But it's, he did, Jim Davidson did the voice of.
So can you do Jim Davidson doing Bruce? I was like, no, do Brucey.
I'll do Jim Davidson doing Brucey. Like a seal being poked over and 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 over. Yeah, he did it all the time. He did Brucey all the time.
I sound more like, what's his name from Carry On? Like, oh my god.
You sound like Frank Spencer a little
bit. Oh yeah. Oh, Betty.
That was very Oh Betty.
He's a very old Frank Spencer.
A scared, electrocuted Frank Spencer. I say it's one of the best impressions I've heard of him.
That's a good name for a band, though.
In Davidson's first autobiography, in 1993, The Full Monty. So this is 1993, this book came out. So that's before he really took off.
Wow.
He frankly talked about his violent, abusive behaviour towards his wife in a light-hearted manner. Oh, we're like a couple of boxers. On the first occasion, I poked her in the eye by accident. I actually went for the mouth. Thank heaven I missed. I'd have fallen in.
I mean...
I just took a playful punch. Unfortunately, I caught her completely wrong. The second time, I gave her a shiner. I threw a bunch of keys, which whacked her in the eye. Just for a giggle, she kept blackening it up to make it look worse.
What?
Look, we're trying to make you laugh here, like in this show.
Well, Ross clearly likes the domestic abuse humour.
Now, look, we are trying to make you laugh. I just want to make it clear that this man is an absolute product of Satan.
It's not good, is it?
But Big Break, at the same time, if you watch it, like, if you distance yourself from it, because it's a fucking quiz show about snooker, it's delightful. It is delightful, and yet at the same time amazingly dull.
Well, it's snooker, isn't it?
It's just the most, that's what I think, it's quintessentially, it couldn't be done anywhere else.
Like, you know, we talked about Noah's House Party and how they remade it around the world. I bet they've never done, you know,
snooker, we even try
in many different countries. I bet they just didn't bother.
It's like, who have we got? That can do a trick shot? Right, we've got him. Right, who can we present it?
Should we just show reruns of Baywatch? Yeah, just do that instead.
Pop that on.
You'll probably get more viewers.
Just get it on. Yeah, I mean, it's just... And the fact that it lasts so long. I mean, it was so cheap to make. Because that was one thing I read. It was like, you would watch... So you were watching one in 1999. Well, they'd film like 40 in like 1 year. So they would... And then they would space them out. So it was like they would just smash them out. And then it was like, fuck, that's you done now.
So that's,
That like Saturday night filled
like
in. Yeah, it was.
Like a job lot.
Just a big racist factory churning out big breaks.
With balls. Coloured balls.
Coloured balls.
Because it doesn't really suit itself. Like, how they tried to hurry people up, because there was always this long-running joke about Terry Griffiths. The Welsh fellow always took ages to do shots. And then they make jokes about how, you know, there's a timer counting you down. You've got to pot as many balls as you can and stuff. But when you see snooker players just, like, walk, like... jogging around the table,
running around it.
It just looks a bit
getting
stupid.
The leg over.
There's one
because they jog and then they still take about 10 minutes to like line up the cue ball and they hit it in.
Here's my favorite one of the there's a number of jokes in Jim Davidson's acts from the show.
Yeah, here we go.
One I liked was it was actually after a trick shot that JV had helped. He just went, he whacked, he pushed, and JV helped him put it in.
Good
just
stuff,
any like ball jokes, cue jokes. Us three today on email.
Yeah, right. There was a lot, wasn't there?
A lot of
nice cue bants.
Not Cubans.
No.
Jim Davidson doesn't
like
them.
They were invited though.
No,
they just didn't reply.
Yeah, and they heard about Jim Davidson. They ran a mile.
They were like, "I'll stay well away."
Stay well away. I might just. I like that. You know, people always wonder what it's like to be in the inner circle.
Oh,
the comedic circle. You know what it's like. You know, like. And you get three funny guys just emailing.
It's just it's electrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. It's electrifying.
That's what John Travolta would describe it as. So what happened after that, the round? So it's like Red Hot, then it went to
Pocket Money,
Pocket Money, then it was it the final? Like, was it the final?
The final round.
Then you'd have the trick shot for the loser.
Allow me to tell you, it's Make or Break.
Make or Break.
Now, I was wondering whether we could actually just play a little bit of the Make or Break list of what you could win.
I've got a list of what you could win.
Because
here.
I reckon actually hearing it would kind of do us well. Because there's some properly cracking bits of bollocks that you could win on this show. I'm just setting it up, so bear with me, lads. Bear with me, lads.
Tell you
what I should do, because now we're a well-professional podcast.
Yeah.
We're on acast.com.
Wow, that's posh.
That is posh, isn't it?
That's
bloody
posh.
On acast.com, if you listen to us Friday,
what does the
Acast.
Stand for?
Awesome.
Brit, of
course. I mean, I don't know what it stands for, but I'm going to say it is. We have to have adverts now.
Oh, brilliant. Are we going to make do some adverts?
We don't get to do the adverts. They put them in.
I got some digestives here. They're delicious. McVitie's.
McVitie's. Is that what you do?
I do it like Brucey. McVitie's.
Well, it's a lovely biscuit.
Betty, I've dropped it on the floor.
And we'll be back after this break.
What advertiser doesn't like to be sandwiched between some casual racism?
Come on,
and
come
some
on.
Terrible impression. No,
they
joking.
Love it. They love
We're
it.
Lovely. You're lovely. Everyone's happy. So here's a little bit of what you could win in the final round of Big Break, called Make or Break. Great name.
Yeah.
Big Break. What you could win. This is going to be brilliant.
Now,
what on earth could they win?
What before we do this? What do you think would be the best thing you could win on Big Break?
Oh, in the 90s, I'd say
1994, let's say.
Oh, a hi-fi with double tape deck, which I do remember whenever they had like an audio prize, there would be a CD next to it and it had a picture of Davidson on it. And it always said Jim Davidson's greatest hit. I always remember that.
It's a good joke.
He's never ever released a song, but I reckon a prize would be a hi-fi double tape deck.
No, who was it that did the UKIP song that was racist?
Oh, that was Mike Reed.
Mike Reed.
But not like, Pet!
No.
Ricky! Not
no,
him.
No.
The
other one.
The Kelly
DJ.
Yeah,
yeah. If you feel like Jim Davidson probably would have been like, do you want to do a remix?
Yeah. I'll play bongos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what one lucky winner could possibly win in a 1995 episode.
And it's two colour. So you had to pot specific colours. So for every red you potted, you got cash?
Let's show. You'll see. Have a listen, ladies and gents.
Any reds left on the table tonight, Jim, and our winner can have fun with this teddy bear talking phone. Pop the yellow. They can also add convenience to their kitchen with this microwave oven. Or this video recorder with the choice of 10 BBC shows is the green ball prize. While the subtle sophistication of this pair of Chinese table lamps, complete with tables, can be won for Downing the Brown. A relaxing Cornish weekend is theirs for putting the blue in the pocket. And they can have the latest in miniaturized technology with this laptop computer for sinking the pink. Finally, pot the black for a total clearance to win our fabulous mystery star prize.
You know what seeing that reminds me of? Unequivocal boredom.
Yeah.
Like utter drenched, just swallowed up by a giant monster of boredom. I was thinking as a child, you go on this show, what could you win? A trip to Cornwall?
Yeah.
And a for a weekend
and a microwave.
Wait, it's always Downing the Brown, sinking the pink, putting the blue in the corner. But one of them is a pair of Chinese style table lamps. Wait for it. With David tables. Oh, whoa. Fucking don't.
Wow.
Oh, God. Let me hold on
you
to
think
my
that'd
chair.
That'd be a blackball prize, that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it's like it's a Chinese table lamps that Jim Davidson refused to have in his home.
I thought it was going that way.
It's,
I mean, they sort of... The Blankety Blank was always like synonymous with being like the rubbish prizes, and Les Dawson always used to make jokes about it. But they their prizes are rubbish.
When we
as well.
Did BBC, Funhouse, the prizes on Funhouse...
But kids don't know no better, though, do
well,
they?
Well, no, but the prizes on Funhouse were on a par with this, but like, it's just so shit.
It's just cheap, though, isn't it?
Yeah. A microwave...
They paid all the money to get Stephen Hendry on.
My mum won a microwave on Wheel of Fortune.
No way. Yeah. Was it the John Leslie era?
John Leslie.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that all she won?
No, she won a microwave, she won a check.
A check?
Yeah, just cash money.
Oh, not
yeah.
like a...
Not a checkbook, not or a like a holder. Check. No, large yeah. novel. You've won a large novelty check!
Which you can fill in and not redeem for anything.
Unredeemable!
Yeah.
Obviously, we've got a Wheel of Fortune watch.
And did she have a photo took with Carol Smiley?
Carol Smiley and the Pope. No, what did John Leslie get done for something?
Well, there was
alleged.
Rumors. Yeah,
allegedly, wasn't it?
I think it was all clear.
He had a tough
go of it.
We're
going off topic.
All right. Yeah.
At the risk of being a bit Adam Buxton again, I'm just going to read out a couple of the comments beneath this episode. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a treasure trove. Right. The cocaine is doing its trick for Jim.
Who said that?
McStar, 2010.
Sure.
The Starvist says, I'm in that weird part of the internet again. Bainey Rules replies with, no, you're not. This was a million times better than Bullseye, said Blaney Rules. Jim Bowen would never shut up. And Tony Green stood next to the board shouting out each dart score. That was irritating as hell. Shadowhawks, 676, said, this show fucked up the way I tried to break the Reds for years. Jono, 9989, says, come back, Big Break, come back. That trick shot was rubbish, it was, says Mr. Lee Kicker. And Livernil, 723, says, why can't we have life and TV like this? Want my life here. What?
So you know,
this is the most random combinations of thing I've ever seen in a game show, and yet I'm still watching it.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened for 10 years.
If you're like, because we got history, because we sort of watched it in the old
as it happened.
Things, but like, what do, like would kids like make of it now? Is there good? You know, on the YouTube, they have those reaction videos.
Yeah,
kids like '90s pop videos.
Yeah, they're like, whoa!
Kids were just like barely probably even know what snooker is, and sort of watching this, they would just think it was the most bizarre thing ever.
Yeah,
bizarre boredom.
Yeah,
with shit prizes.
Yeah, and who's this guy presenting it? Well, actually, he was. Very blue comedian that we didn't really know, but he ruled Saturday Night Television for a long time.
Like,
do you think Noel Edmonds and Jim Davidson had
I reckon they were
hated each other.
I reckon they always like drove in, on the car
in the Jaguars,
trying to get the good car parking space by the door, and it was always like they're getting like 10 minutes earlier every day because we zoom in.
We're talking about Forrest. Like, there was a time when Jim Davidson did. I mean, obviously, they weren't live, were they?
No.
Not to break the. Magic of television.
You'd need a 15-minute delay with Davis if it was.
Jim Davis, come out in blackface again. Comedy count.
Oh, my God. Brilliant.
It's just like, he must have never left White City, that man.
No.
Television centre. Him.
Probably had his own BBC hammock.
He'd have had he probably had a tab at the BBC canteen.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah. Oh, fish and chips again, please.
And a Heineken.
Another quality comment. 30 seconds into this, and I just remember. 30 seconds into this, and I just remembered Jim Davidson is a.
Brilliant, to the point.
A very big swear word that came out of nowhere.
Somebody replied saying, "Pratt," I would say.
A man called Wang Kerr said, "Pratt," I would say. 50,000 people have watched that episode.
Quite rightly so. Maybe. Those people haven't put their real names, so I wonder what Davidson would do if he knows he found out where they lived.
Hit them with some keys.
Yeah, I saw he'd bring around his key on a like on a. What do you call it? On a mace.
On a mace.
Keys mace.
Or he just like puts them on the end of a pool cue and swings it really quickly and then lets, you know.
That'd do the job, wouldn't it?
Just to bring Jim Davidson back to the modern era.
Yeah.
So we had this show, loads of catchphrases, fun, cheeky chappy humour, loved in the 90s. He did very well for himself. He got made redundant. He got made bankrupt in the early noughties due to him basically not paying his taxes. And he had lots of trouble paying off his 2.2 million mortgage. It was like a big thing and it was in the press. And he got into a lot of trouble because he is a nasty, naughty man.
He bought a pier as well and it burnt down. He did. He bought a pier.
He bought a pier.
And it burnt down.
And that was the end of the pier.
And his money.
Yeah.
So he lost a lot of money in that and all. I don't know which one. It was the one that caught fire.
But he had a resurgence just last year.
Yeah.
Do you remember why?
He was in the jungle.
He was in Celebrity Big Brother. And he was, and to this day, the most popular Celebrity Big Brother winner ever. There was a landslide of votes and no one has been voted the winner of that show as much as this guy.
But it's not as if he was entertaining. I watched it and he was a real grump.
He was just an old man.
Yeah, he just like moaned a lot.
It's amazing, isn't it? But there must be something that...
I think it's that British thing. It's a bit like for Rick Waller to win Pop Idol. People just do it to annoy everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we got the voted.
And it's like, you know, you think, you know, we're all, tolerant, what was the word I'm looking for?
Tolerant.
Tolerant. Toblerone. We're all tolerant Toblerones.
And,
you know, we're... We're Swiss, we're neutral. But, you know, we're all accepting people. We're all just humans, sensible, normal people. But a lot of people think
James Davidson. I like to call him by his official name.
James Davidson.
Jamie. James Davidson. Jimmy D. You know, like, they relate to him. They think he's great. They remember.
And people like giving people a second chance. Or maybe fourth.
I mean, if you just search for interviews with Jim Davidson, there's the ones where he's like on Five Live just getting ripped apart and he looks like a knobhead. But for every one of those, there's one that's like, we've got the great Jim Davidson. Yeah, now, Jim, tell us some things that are getting on your tits today. And he's like, let me tell you about, here's how to get away with not paying for porn in a hotel. And they're like, ha, 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 Jim, you're so funny. Yeah, and it's fucking awful.
One of his friends on the Celebrity Big Brother was N-Dub's singer.
Oh, yeah.
N-Dub's quote-unquote, yes. Dappy.
That Dappy. Was amazing. They were like father-son, weren't they?
Yeah, very, very father-son here. Dappy is a good friend of mine. I don't know what happened to him in this assault trial case, but I'm just here to show him my support, he said outside of the court. Dappy's legal team declined Davidson's offer to serve as a character witness for the singer.
Brilliant.
That was in 18th of June 2014.
He probably just shared, like, how do you beat up women? Dappy. Well, Dappy.
No, he didn't. No, Ross does not mean any of that.
Doing it again?
Ross didn't mean any of that.
Stop it!
Honestly, that was just a little jet. No allegations at all, in fact.
Well, were you scared that Daffy's going to come around your house? And be...
He's got big keys.
I know enough about, you know, the libel laws in the UK to know that we're already pretty close to the wire. And I reckon Jim probably has a lawyer. It's the solicitor he met in Preston.
That's right.
Anyway, so yeah, he's been in the papers. Operation U-Tree looked into him but didn't find anything. I mean,
Well, that's how he couldn't get in Big Brother before, because he got arrested as he was just about to... It was something like, I think he packed his bags, left his house, and the police were waiting for him outside, and he was due to go in the series before.
Well, this is how it works when you're Operation U-Tree. You just wait outside the Big Brother house and just wait for till he turns up. Yeah. Oh, you! Yeah, you probably. Yeah, get in my car. Again, obviously that was a joke. Guys, we watched it in the Cold Light of Day.
Yeah.
Watching the episode as an adult, grown up, cup of tea in hand, sitting on the sofa, wherever. What did you feel about the show? Did you feel like this is a show that needs to get rebooted? Did we need to come back and have more Big Break?
There was talk about it coming back after the Celebrity Big Brother triumph. He said, I'm in talks with, you know...
Channel 5,
BBC or whatever, to bring it back. And everyone was like, really? And that was obviously about a year and a half ago when he won, so we haven't heard nothing yet. So,
I mean, when you think about the other crap TV that's on that time of Saturday.
So what is Saturday night TV now? The lottery?
Can you pull up the TV guide?
But like BBC? Have they got the Strictly the dancing show?
Saturday night TV.
Strictly dancing show.
Yeah, that's what. That's...
I don't know. What else do they have? The lottery.
So let's have a look. This Saturday, the 14th.
The news.
We've got Strictly at 7. Doctor Who.
Oh, of course, Doctor Who.
Casualty.
That's not Saturday Night Viewing.
It's National Lottery Live. The Match of the Day.
Come Back, Crinkly Bottom.
And Pirates of the Caribbean. What if we go back? What's on before all of that, though? Like, before... Was Dave Gilmore thing on? Children in Need's on this Friday. That's it. And the Formula One. It's like...
Big Break, Big Crinkly Break. Bottom, and then Generation Game.
Boom, boom, boom.
Big Break.
Because
I'd make it Big Break, Big Break, and then a break from Big Break, Generation Game, then the Big Break.
Yep. I watched some adverts, and they're like, up next on the Generation... After Big Break, tune in for more adventures of, you know, Lewis and Clark, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, right.
So they were running it... Big Break used to run into Clark Kent.
No. It went Big Break... Generation Game, Noel's House Party, blah, blah, blah. But it would be Noel's House Party quite early. Then it would go to Lois and Clark. Then it might be Generation Game. Then it might be Big Break or something along those lines.
Wow.
It was a hell of a time to be alive.
They were the days.
This was pre the internet.
The video recorders across the country must have been worn out. The wheels and the cogs must have been worn out for being used every Saturday.
It was bloody incredible.
They were what the video recorders themselves were waiting for Saturday to come, because there's nothing to record the rest of the week.
So what you're saying is that you wouldn't reboot it right now if you were in charge of the BBC.
I mean, some fancy graphics. Get Virgo would be up for it. He looks a bit weathered these days.
He really
Virgo,
does.
Don't he? I saw
He's
an
not young anymore.
His monotone voice sounds even more monotone. He sounds a bit weary.
Dulcet.
is talking even slower like that, you know.
Just push it in.
Just push it in.
The
you've
gun
got to pot as many balls as you.
So that's very good. But I reckon Davidson will be up for it. I reckon we should do a fight. I reckon we should do a pilot episode in front of a live audience. And see, but we'd have to broadcast it and see how it goes.
Live, we'll do a live YouTube.
I'd be up for giving it a go.
We'll do a live. We'll do an online series.
CGI the trick shots so they all work. It could go places.
But like with really shit. Like, do you ever used to play Yahoo Snooker on?
Oh no,
I used to do that on the back on the internet.
There is apparently they used to do radio. Dave Lee Travis. I don't know if we can mention a name like that, but he used to do radio snooker on Radio One.
What does that even
mean? And it was like people used to phone up and ask questions, and he would go, "Okay, well, you've potted the red," and then they would do another question. So it was like that, but it was bonkers. And then they would you got another so it was like difficulty.
Right, questions, right, right. Okay.
Yeah, questions.
Sounds like Big Break.
Yeah, so it was like Big Break, but without the visual. So I mean that's I mean if you
and that,
if
and,
it
and
can
the
get enter- even duller
I can say and the entertainment by the sounds of it yeah. one thing I did find is that there was in 98 there's a court case somebody said oi I came up with fucking Big Break not you two
who?
And those people were Terry Mardell and Mike Camp they're the people that are credited as the creators of Big Break. This is it. Though credited to Terry Mandel and Mike Kemp by the BBC at the time, a court case in 1988 found that he had effectively stolen the idea. Now, who do you think they could steal an idea like Big Break from? What kind of person?
Steve Davis.
Is that your final answer? Ali, who do you think could have come up with an idea like Big Break?
Brucey.
Minicab driver Roger Medcalf.
I was going to say him.
Just like, they just stole it from a minicab driver. He's like, I'll tell you what, mate. The thing is, all we need on this telly.
Stopped at a red light.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
You work in telly, do you? I've got a great idea for a TV show.
Yeah. Snooker, yeah. You know snooker. What I mean? Potting the balls. Yeah. Imagine doing that with shit prizes.
Yeah.
Like sandwich toast.
Next time you pot a yellow.
Yeah. With catchphrases like Jimmy Wilde, come on.
Yeah.
Davidson will say some stuff.
Yeah. We're
be
all.
Funny.
Yeah. So anyway, this guy came up with it. Metcalf got $100,000 in damages.
Oh my God. Just really?
Pitching it.
Why? Wow, he probably bought a beautiful
and
cab.
And a 1/3 share in income generated by the format. Do you reckon he got one of those cabs that got the automatic doors?
Yeah, it'd be like the DeLorean.
The twin axles. Yeah.
Those doors that go up, smoke after every journey.
What, at the end of Big Break, do you remember the catchphrase?
I do.
Oh, yep.
He goes, say goodnight, JV.
Goodnight, JV.
Get it?
Brilliant.
Because he said, say goodnight, JV.
Yeah.
So he said, good night, JV.
Oh, yeah, right, because his name's JV. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yes, yeah, when it's explained, I get it.
Good one.
I like that. When
explain the rules to the joke there.
Yeah.
I like when I watch a lot of BT Sport and you learn, like, they have, like, because it's a bit shit in a good way.
Right.
They all call each other by their own nicknames, so you get to learn all these, like, football pundits' nicknames for each other.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I feel like JV.
So did Davidson have one? Jim.
Jim.
Jimmy.
Jimbo.
Jimbo and the Jet Set.
But like you watch on BT Sport, they call Harry Redknapp H.
Brilliant.
What's going on, H?
All right, H.
And they call David James J-Mo.
It's just trying to find the most football-y nickname
ever,
isn't
it? What, J-Mo?
J-Mo.
Yeah. You're looking at some things. This Jim Davidson, I Can't Keep Apologising, is some of the most painful. It's your man from, what's his name that, don't play it because it's just fucking awful. But he's on with, what's his name from? He used to be on. He's another one. The BBC love it. The geezer that does on BBC Five Live, he used to be on Blue Peter, that got done for cocaine and then he got sacked off and now he does like a.
Bacon. He's basically Alan Partridge, isn't he?
Yeah. Richard Bacon's like pressing Jim Davidson. It's like the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just running around each other. It's awful.
Can I share something with
Please
you?
Please do.
No, you might not know.
You're the son of Jim Davidson.
I think this is the platform to say it out loud. He was on tour in Bristol. My mum is a lonely woman. No, that's not it at all. I just want to make that very clear. No, that's not it at all. At all. So very, you know, in Jim Davidson's act, there's a little bit of, you know, in the past been some
racism
and homophobic
naughty and rudeness
stuff,
yes.
You know. I'm a little bit obsessed with British celebrities meeting American celebrities, like A-listers. American A-listers meeting, like, Brit. So if you have, like, you know, Cannon and Ball meeting, I don't know, Tom
George
Cruise.
Clooney,
or yeah, that sort of thing. I'm kind of quite obsessed by that. Like, how the hell did that ever happen? It's like some meeting of minds. So with that in mind, there actually is a film called Color Me Kubrick starring John Malkovich and Jim Davidson. And this is not a joke. And this is not, and you can put it up. And if you put in John Malkovich and Jim Davidson on Google Images, you'll see a picture of them talking to each other. And Jim Davidson played, I think it's the love interest of, so it's all about this bloke, and it's a true story, this bloke who went around pretending to be Stanley Kubrick. And he was sort of like a confidence trickster, and he went round, and so he got loads of like free hotels and things like that. And
2005.
So he played a gay game show host, Jim Davidson. He played a gay character, which is, that's.
Do you think he did it to, like? I mean, because the thing is with people like Jim Davidson is that his defense for stuff like that is he is the guy that goes, "Well, my mate's gay." He's that guy, you know what I mean?
But it's mind blowing. If Andy, can you put in Color Me Kubrick? Oh no, maybe like Jim Davidson.
I've got it
Color
here,
Me
yeah.
But on the YouTubes, you'll see Jim Davidson singing "Hello" by Lionel Richie in a sexy way to John Malkovich, and this is not a joke. It actually has happened, and so I've got this film, but I can't watch it because I think if I was to watch it, a film with them sharing a scene, my mind would explode.
So you own it.
I've never watched it because I'm always waiting for the perfect moment.
I've got it.
There you go. We'll play it.
I mean, I honestly can't, like, any,
wow.
So for the viewers, the listeners who are not viewers, he's camping it up loads in that clip.
Some of the comments are great.
But it's just insane.
Yeah, it's mental.
There's so many elements to make even that scene happen. How the hell did that happen?
Jim, what we want you to do here is... all right. But that's the thing, it's like...
Honestly, if I sit in a room and think about that, how the hell that happened, I just...
It's mental, isn't it?
I'm obsessed by how did he even get the job? And how did they even know who Jim Davidson is, or these American producers?
Yeah, like, we've got Malkovich.
I mean, he's booked.
We've booked. Right, okay. Casting. Call. Come on. Casting. So it's Stanley Kubrick vibe. Okay, Jim...
character Kevin Bacon.
I'm thinking Kevin Bacon. I'm thinking... Okay, we've got Richard E. Grant on it. We've got Terrence Rigby. Yeah. Cool.
I'll be honest. I've got a curveball.
Go on.
There's this British...
I'm on the mound.
There's this kind of like homophobic racist comedian from the 70s, 80s in Britain. And his name's Jimmy Davidson.
Jimmy D.
And I don't know. I just think he's quite homophobic. I think he'd be great for the role.
He'd be great for the role. Could we have him straddling a marble banister?
I could sure ask. If the dough was great, I think we could get him on.
Let's book him.
Book it. Book that guy.
Davidson was like... I've just divorced again, so I've got to, you know. Just weird, isn't it?
It's just that. Oh, yeah. I have to stop thinking about it now because it'll bend my bones.
Yeah, Lee Pratt is the name of the character he plays in the. Wow.
But
well, thanks for that.
Yeah, that's something to share. Isn't
to
it?
Digest.
Because not many people know it.
No.
I think you'll. I don't know if John Virgo makes a cameo role. I think if he doesn't,
John Virgo just wakes up next to Jim Davidson in bed one day.
He looked like he was wearing a fancy waistcoat, didn't he?
Yeah, no dad waistcoat.
He was quite gilded.
We watched in the lead up to this tonight, to this moment, we watched John Virgo interviewing Jimmy White, didn't we?
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's when he looks a bit weathered.
He does, isn't he? Tough go of it. I mean, he's not a young lad. He's 69.
Yeah,
Virgo. You know, he
looks a bit like Wurzel Gummidge.
We have spent a lot of time on Jimbo, Jimmy Boy, Davidson.
Jimbo, Jimmy Boy, I like that. Yeah.
In 2014, Virgo released a trick shot phone app, John Virgo's Snooker Trick Shots. Of course, half the trick shots didn't work. No.
Hey!
Available on Apple and Android devices. It has Virgo performing 45 trick shots and contains diagrams and video clips for each. It also has Alex Hurricane Higgins performing 3 trick shots, including the infamous Higgins Goes Bananas. Is that the most British app any phone could have?
Is that just him like setting fire to the cloth and like just pushing up the table and throwing it on the floor?
Just
turning it over, taking dancing
a big,
on it, pulling
taking
down
a
his
big
pants.
Shit on the table, yeah. And just like,
yeah, yeah, and then just doing a big.
There's
line
on YouTube. I'll see if I can. We'll post it. So this, I talked about it. This Acast app. They signed us up. We've signed a multi-million-dollar contract for this thing.
You're still putting all the zeros on the check.
Putting the zeros. Yeah, well, it was a novelty check, so it's quite big. It
takes about hours to put all the zeros.
Anyway, on this thing, if you listen to us via Acast, we can put links and stuff that appear while you listen to it.
Whoa!
So like when we talk about stuff, we'll put a link. So we'll put a link to that Jim Davidson.
That needs to be in bold.
And but there's also somebody's ripped off a VHS a full John Virgo trick shot video.
Really?
It's like 45 minutes long. And you know,
that was.
If you're feeling sad,
lonely,
it's raining outside. It's the winter now.
Maybe
staying
Boxing
in.
Day, like with some cold meats.
Yeah, sure thing. Put that. Get that. A little side of coleslaw, maybe a nice chutney, and
nice
pop the Virgo on. Put a JV on. See what
you sold. I mean, I'm sold.
You're
going to
be there.
That.
Well, we know one thing. You're not watching this other video.
No.
So.
No, I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Got homework.
Do you ever remember him saying the phrase, "Ooh, where's the cue ball going?"
He still says that.
Apparently, that's one of his catchphrases that he still says. Whenever a ball looks like the white ball, could it be going anywhere near the pocket of any kind?
Oh.
He goes, "Ooh, where's the cue ball going?"
Right.
Didn't realise that. I may be thinking now that in retrospect, because they made so many of these damn episodes in one go for Big Break, they were all catchphrases.
Yeah.
Everything, even hello, insert name here, was a catchphrase. Yeah. Because they just did it so many times.
Oh, you don't come here very often, do you?
So, yeah.
Great,
we haven't answered the question. Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I'll be honest. I did enjoy it.
Did you enjoy it, ironically, or did you actually enjoy it?
At the time,
it?
I enjoyed it. I think as I got a little bit older, I was a bit like, this is a bit rubbish, but I'm enjoying it.
You're
I
in
think
the...
I did like Davidson's anarchic antics.
You're in the coffee shop today.
Oh, and I but then it's like, I mean, you've ruined it
you
through
watched
the,
that
the,
bit.
The spectacles of nostalgia, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's difficult to be like cold to it. But I, yeah,
this
I,
culture I, that's obsessed with the 90s.
Certainly is, isn't it? Aren't
yeah.
we all? But
look
I,
at us,
I enjoyed
making a podcast
it.
About it.
I enjoyed
every
it.
Other BuzzFeed article is either Disney princesses as bricks or Big Break knockoffs. Am
yeah.
I right?
Jim
I'm just sick. I'm sick of seeing
yeah.
Disney princesses as Jim Davidson. That's
no,
what
no.
I can't stand. I, honestly, he doesn't do Mulan, but he does the rest of them.
Jim Davidson is Disney princesses is one of his failed musicals.
Oh, hello! I'm Princess Mulan.
But you didn't do Mulan.
Your Jim Davidson impression is getting better and better.
Oh,
that was amazing. It's amazing how you've made an impression of Jim Davidson somehow racist. I don't know how you managed that.
Well done.
Well done. Yeah, so,
yeah,
answer
so
question.
I did enjoy it. So what have I got to do? Have I got to score it with numbers?
Well, let's give it a number. Let's give it a number. You've won £230! No, please tell me, out of 1,990, Big Break. Okay, you're watching Big Break today. I force you to sit down and look at my TV, and
okay.
I say, look, I want to put
you
on
did.
A TV show. I would have put on a TV show, but the only TV show you can watch is a 1997 episode of Big Break.
Oh, okay.
How much you watch it, what would you give it out of 1,909?
No, it's gone downhill by that stage.
It's gone downhill, hasn't
I'd
it?
Say 1,000.
Oh, it's in the 1,000s?
I'd say 1,549.
That's actually significantly higher than what you gave Noel Edmonds' house party.
I was like...
Noel Edmonds was 1,000.
Very low, yeah.
Whereas this, I think it's because it's a tight 30.
Yeah,
and it's tight 30. It's utterly ridiculous.
And there's the chance to win a sandwich toaster here, so I think that's kind of bumped it up for me.
It makes it a bit tense.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I think maybe it's because I'm a little bit hungry. I'm thinking of that. So I think whereas Edmonds' show, there wasn't the chance. So that's what I'd give it.
Speaking of Edmonds, just whilst we talk about this, there is an amazing episode of Noel's House Party where Virgo gets gunged.
Yeah.
Oh.
If we could put a link right now.
Yeah.
Link available now. Link available now.
Yeah.
You'll watch. It's a GIF as well, which is great.
But there's also... Virgo gets gotchered.
Oh, does he?
Because John Virgo wanted to write a pop song to get John Virgo in the studio, and he does it with Right Said Fred.
Of course.
Obviously.
A contact sport. Let the neighbours talk.
But it's like, I'm too sexy for my too, or it's like, I'm trying to pot the red. It's like that. But anyway, that's the gotcha.
It's a hit.
And it's painful, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
But yeah, there it is, John Berger gotcha. But I forgot to tell you, because I told Ali, I don't think I've told you, Steve, is that, so this week, so where I work, there's sometimes telly people there. And I was talking to this woman who came down chatting away to me. And I was like, oh, can you just pop your username in? She's like, yeah, it's Edmonds 073 or whatever. And and she was really chatty, really lovely lady. And I just was like, you're not related to Noel, are you? And she went, yeah, that's my dad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
no,
I met
way.
Noel Edmonds' daughter this week. I said to her, I was like, that's mental because I have a podcast and we just reviewed your dad's TV show. And she went, oh, God. She's like, you should have asked. She's like, if you'd known, you could have asked me. So if anyone has any questions about Noel's house party, tweet at us at 1990spodcast. Yeah, yeah. Email us 1990spodcast@gmail.com.
We were nice about it, weren't we?
We were, yeah. And we talked about it. We just thought it was mental. And she was like, yeah, it was mental. She said to me, she's like, I said to her, I was like, did you ever have to go to Crinkly, you know, to Blobby Land? She went, we had to go every weekend. Oh, she's like, I remember the pink ice cream. It was like so pink. And she's like, Mr. Blobby used to come to my birthday parties.
Oh, of course. It's contract in the contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry, wasn't it? Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry, you've got to go to the
Barry, no one's around this weekend. So she was like, yeah, if you have any questions, just let me know. Amazing.
I'm stunned by that.
Yeah. I'm jealous about that.
Edmund's offspring.
Yeah. Daughter of Edmund's. I think if it was Son of Edmund's, it would be a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Daughter Son of Edmund's. Nice. What would you give it at 1,990, Ross?
I'd probably give it like... I'm going to give it one more angel for 1,600.
Oh, okay.
You've actually been really generous to this show.
I
think you've both been really quite confidently like, yeah, it was all right. It's a bit ironic, a bit silly. Oh,
yeah.
He's a bit of a laugh. Oh, he's a bit racist, so what? John Virgo, he's crap at trick shots, always gets them wrong. Oh, it's boring as hell. All the prizes are terrible. Oh, I like it, 1,600. What the hell?
I like this more than when we watch, like, I don't know. Noel's House Party, because it's got a beginning and an end. Noel's House Party, a bit like Generation Game, it's just mental. It's just like, it's just nonsense. It's just like flippy floppy, and it's got that format, and it's got a craziness, and it's a nostalgia and a Britishness that you don't get anymore. We're so desperate to be like America.
Yeah.
That we don't have an identity. And it seems very of like a...
Well, it's the pub games, isn't it?
Snooker, it is that. Yeah, yeah. It's like, that. This is it. Yeah. And, you know, people came on, like you're saying, people came on this to make a bit of money.
Yeah. And they ended up with 200 quid.
They ended up 200 quid, which, you know, that'll filled up the petrol in the metro and they drove home. But, yeah, it's just like...
There was a great moment in the episode that we watched today, which was the guy that loses early and gets his big break pool cue and toddles off. He goes, so how are you getting home? Taxi? And he went, yeah. And then Jim Davidson goes, see you then. And it was actually a really good moment.
He hasn't always got a comeback, has he?
It wasn't like a setup, I think. It was just like he was just playing the crowd and having a good time. Yeah. It was a bit like a panto. Not like Boobs in the Wood, but it was a bit like the panto. I would give this half an hour, if I had to watch it in front of the TV right now, 1,421.
Oh, wow, lower.
It's not that I mean, lower than yours. I mean, I think I'm still being quite generous.
Yeah, right.
If you guys were giving Noel's House Party 1,000, I think this is... It has something special about it, and I think it's important to say that Jim Davidson was kind of great and kind of terrible.
Yeah.
I don't endorse him as a human being, but as an entertainer and Saturday Night TV show host, he was good at what he did.
He perked up the format.
So, you know, in a kind of... Shoreditch hipster BuzzFeedy way, I did get a kick out of rewatching this, and it was a serviceable half an hour of kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek entertainment. But let's be honest, if they rebooted this, I'd fucking lose my shit. This is a waste of BBC money to begin with. But who knows, they probably will make loads and loads and loads of money.
Sky will pick it up.
The thing is, I'd rather watch this than fucking Camelot or whatever shit they put on.
I'd rather watch that,
I mean?
Than the bloody dancing show.
Yeah,
I'm not into
Strictly.
That at all.
What's your thing about not saying Deal or No Deal? You always say the Red Box Game.
Yeah, it's
and the Strictly Come Dancing becomes the dancing show. What do you call the BBC News? Oh, the Information Talkie Man. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I can't always remember the names of the
Neighbours,
show.
Neighbours.
So I just go for the easy, quick option.
What's Neighbours then?
Neighbours, the Boomerang Show.
twist.
Yeah,
that is round the twist. Yeah,
I it's sort of just grabbing right, for the quickest thing.
We just want to do it quickly, Stephen. We had a few shout outs this week. We had a few people reacting to our podcast. People tweet at us funny things we said. One of our favorite things is when one of us says a funny thing and then they quote it back to us.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot that. I think I said it actually, so it's probably just blow my own trumpet now. But
oh, well.
I said Noel Edmonds is Banksy.
Oh, yeah, right.
And somebody tweeted us, so thanks Thomas McIntyre, Tom Luxton, the chat it. HMV Tunbridge Wells, they tweeted us.
Good, I've always liked them.
Yeah,
it's the best branch.
My favourite of His Majesty's Voice. Katie, Drew, yeah. So, you know, just thanks when people tweet us, it's nice.
Can we apologise to the people who had no idea what Noel's House Party was or Big Break was before we introduced it to them? Because if you didn't know about it, this is almost like being infected with a very minor disease.
I mean, I think it's like explaining what the Bible is. I mean...
You reckon? You should know this by now.
It's the fabric of British society, knowing what Big Break... But I take your point.
I reckon people who use Snapchat don't know who Jim Davidson is, and we're helping that happen.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, you know, inside it, people, when we do weird shows like this, we don't get as many downloads. So if you're here and you've just been like, well, I've listened to Sabrina and I listened to Keenan and Kel, I'll check out whatever Big Break is. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, listeners.
Don't be a Linda. And thanks for listening. No, we've had a lot of fun. Any other comments to make about this show?
I think that was pretty much it. All really for me to say is say goodbye, Stephen Allen York.
Oh, bye, Stephen Allen York.
Say goodbye, Ali Plum.
Goodbye, Ali Plum.
It's been nice to be on the 1990s podcast. To be on the 1990s podcast, nice.
Betty.
Brilliant.
Bye, Ross Drummond.
Stay with you, bitches.
Stay with you, bitches. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.